This is Wickham Sound.
Hello, hello, and welcome to The Art Show on Wickham Sound 106.6 FM. My name is Dane Cobain. I'll be your host for the next hour. This is the show where we chat about the local art scene. We cover events where we can. We have a different guest on each week. We also share some recommendations on some books you might like, a movie or a TV show you might like. And we get a twangling Jack Ford joins us from the Ilk Shed for a music review as well. As I said, my name is Dane Cobain. You can email me on the studio here on dane.cobain@wickhamsound.org.uk. That's dane.cobain@wickhamsound.org.uk. And I particularly want to hear from poets, musicians, that sort of thing. If you've got MP3s, send them to me. We'll try and play them. So again, we'll be playing some local music later on as well. We also have a Facebook page, so you can just search Facebook for The Art Show on Wickham Sound. You should be able to find us. And if you miss an episode, you can catch up on iTunes, Spotify, and other podcasty things. So with all of that out of the way, I'm going to start this week's show with something a little different. I wanted to share part of this is the online launch video for the Faces of High Wycombe book by Mark Page, who's a local photographer who's actually done some Faces of High Wycombe exhibitions and stuff. But he created this sort of online launch, obviously because we're in a COVID era, so physical book launches aren't really a thing anymore. But he answers a few questions and talks about the book, and I just thought it was a great little thing to share with you guys. So over to Mark.
Hello everyone, my name's Mark and I'm here today to talk about my new book, High Wycombe and its people through my eyes. Before I talk to you too much about the book, let me just tell you a little bit about myself. I've lived in Wycombe for nearly 60 years now. My early days I lived with mum, dad and brother in a two-bed council house in Micklefield. I went to Micklefield Primary School and by some fluke I passed my 11 plus and went up to the John Hampden School, top of Marlow Hill. Actually, if I recall, there was only four boys in my whole year that passed the 11 plus that year, so I was either very, very lucky or very, very unlucky. Tech weren't the happiest days of my life, but I did study art and design, so I got a fair bit out of the school, and I also joined the school camera club. This is where I honed my skills in developing, enlarging and printing black and white prints. I left the school at the earliest opportunity, age 17, and joined the family business, Adams and Page, in Lee Street, High Wycombe, off of Des Road. Well known for tyres and accessories, custom car bits and CB radios. I've always had a love of cameras. Dad would let me use his Japanese import 35mm film cameras from my earliest days. I remember being 5-6 years old, photographing mum and dad on holiday, and then helping dad develop the film in the dark room at home. With my first wage packet, which was around about £15 a week if I recall, I went to the bank and I applied for a credit card. They gave me a MasterCard with a £300 credit limit on it. So what did I do with that? Went straight to the camera shop in Castle Street, Wickham Cameras, and asked for the best camera I could buy. For whatever reason, they said the Canon A1 was the best, £299.99. So I bought it, and the rest is history. I still love cameras and actively take photographs wherever I go. Usually got a camera with me. Not always a big camera, but sometimes, or usually, I carry my little Fuji X100F street camera. Really small, discreet, and not quite so in your face as the big Canon. I'd always take photographs of buildings, especially if I heard they'd been developed or knocked down, because I was thinking, in future generations, you'll forget about these. You won't remember those shops, you won't remember those royal houses. So, mundane as they were at the time, I'd go out and try and photograph them. They say a picture tells 1,000 stories. Well, this is my story. It's a photographic journey of my life of living in Wycombe in a scrapbook. I compiled the book, as I said, just to share the events, people and buildings that I grew up with, many that are now gone. It includes many, many personal photographs never seen before outside the family. You won't find them on sites like Swap. It should appeal to the older generation and the younger people in Wycombe. It should bring back memories for those that have lived in Wycombe for a long time, pre-Eden. Or for those that have just moved here, maybe it'll be an insight in what the town really did look like and how beautiful it was at one time. The photographs are not masterpieces, but they are a true snapshot in my lifetime. I'm actually an award-winning photographer. I've won several trophies. High Wycombe Photographic Society, I won Best Black and White Print, Best Portrait, Best Storytelling. And actually in 2017, I was even awarded the Erotic Artist of the Year. Yeah. So, I've always been involved in photography. I tried to keep the cost of the book to a very, very reasonable price, £20, or £19.99. It would make an ideal Christmas present for your friends or family.
Okay, so that was local photographer Mark Page talking about his new book called Wickham and Its People Through My Eyes. It's available to buy now. I think he's actually sold out his first run of books as well, which is great news. You can find his stuff if you go to facebook.com/groups/HW Street Life. So obviously, I think we're all aware of the big news since last week's show, which is that we're heading back into another national lockdown. I mean, for myself, I'm sure I will keep myself safe and sound. I'm kind of used to pretty much being a hermit anyway, but I am quite sort of worried in general for the nation's mental health above anything else, I think, and also, of course, how it's going to affect the arts. So one thing I wanted to talk about is what we're going to be doing at Wickham Arts Centre. I mean, again, at the time of recording, it's still early days, but you know, we're going to obviously have to cancel events throughout November and hopefully look to reschedule a bunch of them. But we are hoping to look at doing some stuff online. We were due to be having a Christmas arts and crafts fair, which unfortunately, again, can't go ahead. So we're going to run some sort of promos on the different stall holders and artists who are due to be displaying there. So check out the Wickham Arts Centre social media pages. You can, you know, wickhamartscentre.com, they're all linked to and stuff from there. So as part of that, and you heard it here first, I might be working on a sort of writer's workshop, an online thing. Hopefully we're also going to be kind of continuing the film club that we've been working on setting up. We can't have a screening where we can physically gather people together, but perhaps we can get, you know, people can individually rent it and we can share our thoughts about it afterwards. And also, just if you go to wickhamartscentre.com/films, it will take you to, there's a Facebook group where you can kind of, you know, keep updated on future events and also have your say on what films will be screened. So it's obviously a setback. It's a setback for everybody, but hopefully, at least at Wickham Arts Centre, we're still sort of looking towards the future and hoping to book some things into the new year. I also wanted to share some news from Sign Dance Collective. So they're the company in residence at Wickham Arts Centre. So, and this is like a creative opportunity that, you know, you might want to get involved in. So Sign Dance Collective International invite you to join Essence of Time Digital Exchange Programme. So the nature of time or time in nature. Those are the sort of the two themes there. Pieces submitted will be part of a growing digital canvas at www.inbetweenspacesplatform.com. So the brief is to create a 60 to 90 second video or audio clip using any of the following art forms as a response to the nature of time or time in nature. So they're accepting movement / dance, soundscape, music, performance art, visual art, poetic non-verbal statement, and sign poetry. And they say your piece will be edited together with other pieces. Please ensure you do not include any copyrighted material. Send your submission by 4th of January to SDC Projects Director via WeTransfer or similar at signdanceco@gmail.com. Okay, so now we're going to listen to a little bit of music, and I encourage people like each show to drop me an email. You can reach out to me on dane.cobain@wickhamsound.org.uk. That's dane.cobain@wickhamsound.org.uk. And I'm always looking for musicians, poets, and other performers who have MP3s, etc., that they can share that we might be able to play on the show. And so Simon Gregory reached out to me. He said, I just finished a new song. It's called The Call of Duty, and it's about the promises made to young people to get them to join the armed forces versus the experience they have and how they're treated when and if they make it home. He said, hope you like it. I might consider playing it on your show. It could be timely with Remembrance Day coming up. Certainly is. So this is The Call of Duty by Simon Gregory.
My father's land. I'd never been 10 miles from our home. But after 15 summers, I could ride and I could shoot, and I ventured to the county fair alone. The sergeant in the army tent had shillings on his drum, and his stories and the ale called to me. And before I knew it, I'd received my shilling and a gun, off to fight the French for my king and country. And it wasn't just the foe who saw us coming, as we marched in line with rifles in our hands, and slaughtered boys who looked like us but spoke another tongue, to decide which rich man got to rule the land. Rule the land. Centuries on, it's still the same. Everything's different, but nothing's changed. I wasn't good at school, and I couldn't find a job that required all the skills I'd learned at home. A life of watching movies, playing Xbox, flying drones doesn't fit you for a standard office clone. But I'd seen all the recruitment advertising, let us make you into all that you can be. And before I knew it, I'd received a buzz cut and a gun, and the rest is military history. To last a lifetime. They never said how long that life would be. And those of us who made it back, we're not the boys who left our homes to answer to the call of our duty. They promised we'd come back covered in glory, we'd be heroes and our country would be proud. As work for men who've seen too much and can't forget the things they've done, and blood spill on that foreign ground. And it wasn't just the foe who saw us coming, as we stood there with our papers in our hands. It wasn't in the desert or the field or in the trench, but on the home front where we took our final stand. It wasn't just the foe who saw us coming, as we stood there with our papers in our hands. It wasn't in the desert or the field or in the trench, but on the home front where we took our final stand. The final stand. The land. Who makes the choice? Who makes the profit? Who pays the price?
Love music. Love talk. Love Wickham Sound.
From the 1st of April, your new Buckinghamshire Council will replace the existing county and district councils and continue to deliver all the services you are used to. Visit buckinghamshire.gov.uk.
We understand that everyday life is going to become challenging over the next few weeks and months. but we want to reassure you that the Wickham Sound team are here to inspire and entertain you with local, relevant programmes and information.
We followed government advice and set our team up to work remotely. We have taken all the steps we can to keep our team safe so we can be here for you.
Local businesses. Perhaps you have closed temporarily or have found a new and innovative way of working. If you want to reach customers with your message, get in touch with us today.
We can get through this if we all pull together. Please stay at home, stay tuned to Wickham Sound for the latest information, and do get in touch with us to let us know how you're doing, if you'd like a song played, or just want us to say hello to you.
This is Wickham Sound.
Uber à 19h, tu me prends en bas de chez moi. Tu donnes le nom de la boîte, ta CV va transpirer. Au bar à 22h, toujours pas prêt à danser. Encore un peu trop froid, t'es qu'à ta troisième vodka. Lâche-toi, lâche-toi, oublie tes inhibitions. Lâche-toi, lâche-toi avant de toucher le fond. T'as pas payé à l'entrée pour voir les autres s'enlacer. Et quand tu m'as invité, j'espérais bien t'embrasser. Et puis je me suis maquillée exprès pour t'émoustiller. À consommer, tu risques pas de remarquer. Lâche-toi, lâche-toi, j'ai envie de m'amuser. Lâche-toi, lâche-toi, je suis venue pour danser. Oui, j'aime la tequila, mais j'en veux pas, me force pas. J'attaque ma libute, mâcherai la tête dans le cul.
Retire le bip.
Et puis je suis pas venue pour venir bourrer dans la rue. Les néons des urgences cachent mon teint d'ingénu. Tant que le DJ, je suis prête à rentrer.
Tu pourrais me raccompagner?
Et c'est là que GG se met à se déhancher.
What the...
Sauf que moi, ton état, il est à ma volupté.
Lâche-moi, lâche-moi, je préfère rentrer à...
That was Jurong Trapier by Faiblesse Parfaite, and before that we had Call of Duty by Simon Gregory. My name's Dane Cobain, you're listening to The Art Show on Wickham Sound 106.6 FM. Before we get to the next part of the show, I just wanted to mention about Faiblesse Parfaite. They posted on Facebook to say, "It's our birthday, we have a present for you. Yes, it's been 2 years of fun, hard work, nerves, elation and much, much more. We can't believe how lucky we are to have stumbled onto each other. It went like a rocket and we're not landing yet. So for our birthday, we would like to offer you a free download of our latest release and two remastered tracks. It's all about house partyings with ourselves these days, so you need this soundtrack. How? Send us a message in the comments and we will reply privately with a unique download code for Bandcamp. Numbers are limited, so be quick." So that's from Katie and Gail of Faiblesse Parfaite. You can find them on facebook.com/ Faiblesse Parfaite Music. So it's Faiblesse Parfaite, and it's Faiblesse Parfaite Music. Go and check them out. So this week, we don't have a guest because life has been a little bit crazy, what with, you know, recent news and whatnot. But I have actually been working quite hard on pulling together some highlights from our previous shows. So I've got basically enough for three shows worth of highlight shows that I'm going to trickle out over probably the next, probably over the next 6 months or so, I guess. We'll have these three, and because we'll be interviewing more people going along, we'll have more guests to talk to as well. So, today is the second installment of our highlights show. So, over to me with the assortment of guests. So, we chatted to Carrie-Anne Pollard, who is a music photographer. She's also a booktuber, which means she makes YouTube videos about books, which is how I came across her. Her sister's called Kay McLeod, and she's an indie writer who I will hopefully be getting on the show at some point as well. But we had a little bit of a chat about self-publishing and, I suppose, the reputation that self-published books have in the marketplace and the literary world. I think with the self-published thing as well, like, there are sort of two different schools of self-published author. Like, there are the people who literally will just finish a first draft and then just print it and sort of call it a day or whatever. But, I mean, you know, they say you shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but I think with self-published books, you generally can, because if the cover's good, then they've probably also made sure that they've worked with a good editor and that the layout inside's good.
They've actually put the money into getting a good cover and stuff like that.
Yeah, and you can tell with Kay's books, like, they always look awesome just on the covers, so a good sign of quality, I reckon.
Yeah, she definitely, there's a lot of back and forth to make sure the covers are always as good as they can be.
Yeah.
And obviously, like you say, editing and making sure it's the best it can be. And then you see some people who can just pop out a book every 3 months and you think, they're probably not going to be quality.
Yeah. Does she ever ask you to kind of share your opinion on the covers? Because you're, like, quite a visual person yourself, you know?
Here's the thing. Every single time she writes a chapter, she instantly emails it to me and I read it and give my opinions on it. And then with the cover as well, she always sends me the picture and is like, "Oh, what do you think of this?
Yeah.
Do you think it looks right or wrong?" For example, on one of them, there was a certain arm position because it had been changed so it could hold a sword.
Yeah.
And I was on the clock. I was like, "No, that's the wrong sort of position. That is not how bodies work." Yeah. So yeah, definitely.
Cool.
Whether she likes it or not, I will tell her when something's wrong.
Yeah, yeah, but that makes it a better book at the end, you know.
Exactly.
So here we are talking to Twanglin Jack Ford, who is my mate Dave. Not the band My Mate Dave, just my friend Dave. But he goes by the name of Twanglin Jack. He does our weekly album reviews on the show now as well. But he was actually, I think, the second guest that I spoke to for the show. And he has a song called Sweet Home High Wycombe that went semi-viral on YouTube, to the point at which I think there's a drinking game for it that some of the uni students sometimes play. And we actually have some friends who knew about High Wycombe because of the song before they came here. So let's chat to him about that.
So some of our Romanian friends, right, when they first moved to High Wycombe, that's all they'd seen.
Yes, they apparently they were coming to live in Wickham, and they searched on Google High Wycombe, and they came up with quite a few things about terrorists and my video. And then I was performing at an open mic at Wickham Art Centre, and they saw me, and on the video I call myself the Wickham Man.
Yeah.
And there's a video, a picture I did, which was like a mock-up of the Wicker Man. And they said, "Oh, look, there's the Wicker Man."
Okay, so as we just spoke to my mate Dave, Dave Ford, we should speak to my mate Dave, the band. So here's a little bit of a highlight from when we chatted to Claire and Matt Moon, who are two quarters of my mate Dave. I don't want to say a half, because they are two quarters.
Are you guys readers? And if so, what books are you both currently reading?
Currently, I'm reading The Ragged Trails of Philanthropists, which I'm finding to be, I'm shocked at how apt it is for this day and age.
It's funny you mention that, because just before we hopped on this call, actually, I was chatting to Clive, who's your cousin, right?
That's right, yeah.
And so he's reading it as well. Are you both reading it together, or is that just a weird coincidence?
No, complete coincidence. He popped up on Facebook saying that he was reading it just after I picked it up.
Oh, amazing. Cool.
Yeah, I bought it some time ago to give it a go, and didn't really wade into it much then. But one day last week when it was just there was nothing else to do and the sun was shining and the garden looked lovely. So I went and sat in the garden and waded through a fair bit of it.
Ah, perfect.
And as I say, it's a novel, bear in mind, written 100 years ago. It's really apt for today's climate,
Oh, amazing. I might check that out myself. What about you, Claire?
Me, I've been ploughing through the Philip Pullman book, starting with The Book of Dust.
Yeah.
It's quite a while ago. And then that kind of leads into the trilogy. So I've read the trilogy before, but then I read it again because it kind of followed through quite nicely. And I'm just about to launch into the Secret Commonwealth.
Oh, cool.
It's brilliant. It's been really, really good because I was reading the trilogy at the same time that they brought out the BBC series.
Yeah.
Well, which a friend of ours happens to be one of the, is an extra in it.
Oh, cool.
Funnily enough, but yeah. So it kind of all coincided with that, but it's really nice to read it. I've really enjoyed it.
It does make watching the TV series quite a little bit more interesting, because you're always looking out for our friends. Look, there he is.
Yeah.
Another one of the interesting conversations that I had on the show was with Dr. Emmanuel Fombu. So he's actually a client of mine. He works in the healthcare sector. And I worked with him as the editor on his book, The Future of Healthcare, in which he talks about, you know, new technologies and the way that they influence healthcare and the healthcare system. A particularly important subject, I think, during the time of the coronavirus, you know. But we also chatted about, you know, AI creating things. I've read books here and there, for example, that were co-written by AIs and stuff. And so we talked a little bit about the future of creativity and how AI will play into that.
I mean, I guess it all has to come from some sort of input. But, you know, things like I've seen AI that generates random music that you can use in videos, for example. So it's quite cool that it can be used to imitate and it also can be used to sort of create something new.
Correct, and that's the tricky part of it, right? And we are going into this new world of, if it was created and you did not know it was created by AI and it was good,
yeah,
then does it matter if it was created by a human or by a computer, right?
Yeah.
And that same argument comes also to medicine, right? Where we've made this argument that if AI could replace a doctor at certain tasks, then maybe it should.
Yeah.
Right? Same thing as if AI could create better music, what is the purpose of art and what's the purpose of anything that we do, right? Is it the outcome we measure by the outcome?
Yeah.
Right? So if you look at, let's take the car industry, for example, where you could have a car like a Rolls Royce, mm-hmm. right? And you could say a couple hundred thousand pounds or dollars for a Rolls Royce. And you could have, and they'll give you the excuse of, oh, okay, it's handmade. Like humans actually get involved in putting the parts together. And then you have another car like a Honda, right? Or a Hyundai, for example, or a lower end car, where you could say, hey, this car is mass produced by robots or computers and with minimal human input, so this is cheaper than this car that is handmade.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, yes, there's value ascribed to the part that humans put your hands in it, but I'm sure those cars are all designed on computer systems today.
Yeah.
Right? And humans physically go in and you use your hands to do it. So are you paying for the value and additional care put around it? It's a different situation. But what if, you know, a robot can make the same kind of car as with the same detail as Rolls Royce as a human?
Yeah.
Where the difference comes in, right? And the price points kind of become different. And so it brings up that question, is it more of a marketing strategy that humans are involved, or is it more of a computer thing?
Mm.
I know back in the 90s, for example, you had Milli Vanilli. Remember that?
Yeah.
right, so finally, for example, you know, when everyone believed they were singing and they were big stars, but when they found out that they were lip syncing, their career kind of vanished, right? So I think it's being more upfront and open to the consumer to know exactly what they're getting into and what they're consuming.
Yeah.
But I think there's no doubt that computers to understand humans a lot more in terms of data sets, right? Mm. And being able to influence behavior in the long run. So I see, the roles of DJs being different in the future, the role of producers and musicians being different.
Yeah.
In the future, I'll tell you, our friends now, for example, that are learning how to play the piano, or guitar online,
yeah,
using apps, right, that teaches them how to play the piano and guitar. And they have a whole community of people that they could talk to, right? And then learn how to play music. And literally when you play, your phone literally just, or the app, just listens to how you play and it helps correct you on how you play music better. Yeah, yeah. So I think you have more human musicians getting better. People that have the skills to train these algorithms that actually get more people into music.
Yeah.
Right? So so I could see more musicians being scaling up.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of doing that.
And that's a great example of, again, of humans and machines combining to be better than either of them individually, you know?
So here's your ultimatum, your catch-22. You can't have it both ways, I won't be with you. I have held this in for far too long. I kept this in my heart. Started, but I know it's been too long.
That was The Phenomenauts. You're listening to The Art Show on 106.6 FM Wickham Sound. My name is Dane Cobain, and we're going to head straight back to a few of our highlights.
So here we have what happened when we chatted to Maz Manzini about how he'd adapted his Our Friends Acoustic jam sessions and open mics to a more online format during the pandemic.
I mean, with the events as well, sort of, I know you've had, you know, you'll have occasional, I guess you wouldn't call them like a headline act, but you'll have like the guest act or whatever. So you've had Ant Barnes and like Alex Q before the in-person ones as well. So it actually worked quite well because there was already that, you know, that sort of history there, I guess, of like, of you kind of putting on the event, but co-presenting it.
Yeah, exactly. So it started out, I just asked Steph to be the special guest as you said, as I would at a normal event. But then for a couple of different reasons, one, because she was my official tech support, and two, she's got a fiber optic net connection.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So we thought, my internet connection was installed by Trotters Independent Traders, I think. It's not the best. So we thought, okay, well, at least if something happens with mine, we've got something rock solid and robust underneath it in Steph's connection that will keep things running. But yeah, as you say, I do try and have at the usual events, have one special guest who plays five or six tracks at the beginning, five or six tracks at the end as kind of the main showcase artist for that event. And again, try and encourage people to play as much original stuff as possible.
And again, during the summer, we were trying to find, you know, new ways of living and working and still being creative. And one of the ways that we facilitated that at Wickham Art Centre was that we had a lockdown art exhibition where we invited a bunch of local artists to come and display their work there. And one of those was Victoria Snaith of Dreadfuls Theatre. And this is what we chatted to her about.
A couple of things I want to chat to you about. So obviously I saw you at the lockdown art exhibition at the Art Centre, and you were doing your puppet making workshops. What were some of the highlights for you of the exhibition?
What was the highlight for me? The highlight for me was I got to meet so many artists that I just didn't know existed in our local area.
Yeah.
I guess I knew they were there.
Yeah.
They must be there because there are people who are performing or exhibiting at the Art Centre and other places, but I had not had the opportunity to meet these people, and that was delightful and just what I needed as we're coming out of lockdown, knowing that there is an artistic community on my doorstep, and I just didn't know they were there. That was my personal highlight.
Amazing. No, that's great. I like that. So cool. Yeah. And so according to my research, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think next year is Dreadful's 10th anniversary, right?
Oh my goodness. I know. It's so funny you said that. I was just thinking about that yesterday. I was thinking I should plan something. I should do something special.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure what yet. So...
Watch
the space. Give me some ideas. You know, write it on a postcard. Send it this way, people.
I should probably share this clip here too. So this is a recap of when we were chatting to Jake Cooper, who is the lead singer and songwriter of The Phenomenauts, and he is also a guitarist. They're looking for a lead guitarist actually at the time of recording, at least. And we spoke to Jake about his top 10 albums of the year.
I don't know, I feel like I've got to that sort of point in my life where I've stopped discovering new music, but you kind of still keep up to date with a lot of new releases, and so I wondered, what are some of your favourite albums so far this year?
Oh boy, I've got my top 10 already, so I'm done for the year. Sorry, hold on, I'll get out my playlist.
Alright then, yeah. What happens if another one comes through? Are you going to have to, I guess you'd have to get rid of number 10, wouldn't you?
Yeah, if anyone comes through, number 10 is literally like just a post, like it's one that's there and it's sort of like on the edge, but I couldn't think of a number 10 yet, so that took up number 10. Yeah. So my 10 out releases of the year are Spanish Love Songs, Brave Faces Everyone. It's a fantastic bit of pop punk. It's also like very heavily in the emo as well, so it's great. They also like confront a lot of things in it. So they wrote a song called Beachfront Property, which again is about global warming, and it's about how the sea levels are rising, and by the time basically in the song, there's a line, the whole thing about beachfront property is that because the water level's risen so much, that their house now becomes beachfront property.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But they also have songs like Bro Faces Everyone, which is like battling with depression and anxiety and all that stuff. Kick is about his friend who basically lived a really, really, really hard life, and he couldn't do anything to help him. So it's like a lot of their songs are very like close to the bone.
Yeah, hard hit.
Like when I first heard it, it hit me straight in the chest because I listened to it at that point, and I was driving to work, and I put it on just because I was like, I wonder what it's like.
Yeah,
and it hit me square in the chest, and I was like, Jesus Christ. Brian Fallon's new album is probably one of the best bits of singer-songwriter music ever recorded. That's Brian Fallon. He's the lead singer of the Gaslight Anthem.
Yeah.
And pretty much, like, I can't pick out a single song on this. All of them are great. what's this song? What's this one called? I've forgotten what it's called. The new Hot Mulligan album was amazing. Again, very heavily influenced in the emo sort of area, but at the same time, it's like got a lot of technical parts to it and stuff like that. So it's a very, very, very well constructed album. New Lawrence Arms album, again, PTA is a straight up punk song. They're all straight up punk songs, and every single one of them's a banger. Idols' new record is one of the biggest albums of the year. You can feel every single bit of music in that. Like, it all hits you like square in the chest, or you can feel it in your stomach, your beat everywhere. And it's all big rip. Every single song. Machine Gun Kelly's new album, again, fantastic. I was very surprised, and I hated the fact that I liked it.
Yeah.
Well, loads of people have said it's really shallow and everything like that, but I think it's just music you can put on and you immediately like feel a connection to it. So I was like, yeah, this is a great album. Laura Jane Grace from Against Me has just put out a solo album. That was amazing. Who else is there? The Menzingers put out a re-recorded version of their album they just put out last year.
Okay.
So they've basically, because of lockdown, it's called From Exile.
Okay, yeah.
And it's just basically, they've re-recorded it all like acoustically or reimagined stuff like that. Like, they play harmonica on it and everything is great. What else? The Run the Jewels record out this year. It's a rap record, very political rap, so I really enjoyed that. And then it comes to my last one, and that was Enter Shikari's record out this year, which actually has a full orchestra song on it, and it was amazing. He went to the guy who does, he orchestrates like Blue Planet and everything like that.
Oh, right.
So he went to him saying, like, look, I want to try and write an orchestral piece. And he was like, okay, well, here's a few pointers. Do with it what you will. And then, yeah, he came out, and it was amazing.
Sweet. So is that your top one of the year?
My top one of the year was Spanish Love Songs.
Okay, right. Yeah.
So I went in descending order.
Yeah, cool. You're listening to The Archer on 106.6 FM at Wickham Sound. My name is Dane Cobain, and this is France Elul with Bohemian Poker.
love music. Love talk. Love Wickham Sound.
Happy London Press and Wickham Sound present High 2020, the short story competition. If you've had the ideas but never written them up, if you have a sheaf of them ready to send off, or if you've never tried but would like to have a go, this competition is for you. You could find yourself in print and on the radio. Entry forms at high2020.co.uk. That's hi2020.co.uk. Don't put it off. Get those short story muscles in trim and get writing.
Saturday evenings from 10.
Keep the frequency clear.
If you enjoyed dance music from the 70s, 80s, 90s and noughties,
I know you're gonna dig this.
This is the Familiar Funk Show.
Then join me right here on Wickham Sound. Each and every Saturday night from 10 till midnight.
DJ Smoking.
That feels so funky.
Old school tunes remixed and reworked for today.
Now hold on tight.
Exclusive international artist promos. Live freestyle mixing. It's all about the music.
This is Wickham Sound.
That was Bohemian Polka by Franz Elul. My name's Dane Cobain. You're listening to The Art Show on 106.6 FM Wickham Sound. And we've reached that part of the show where we share a few recommendations to keep you going entertainment-wise, which I suppose is going to become increasingly important over the next 4 weeks or so. So first off, we're going to go to Twanglin Jack Ford over in the Ilk Shed for this week's album review. Now, I made a bit of a mistake somehow last time. I don't know, there was a gremlin in the machine. So his review ended up, I think he described it as sounding like a Velvet Underground album with like loads of delay and stuff on it. So hopefully we're not going to make the same mistake this time. So over to Twanglin Jack Ford for this week's album review.
A letter to you, Bruce Springsteen, and importantly, the E Street Band. I was not expecting it to be a letter to me. I was not expecting much. There has been a lot of unnecessary Springsteen product in the last four decades, but this is vital. This is important. He is speaking to me like he did back in the day, back when I was growing up, with a hungry heart, hanging out in the Badlands and thinking I was part of the opera on the Turnpike and the ballet in the alley. But the Turnpike is now a Tesco. This is the album where Bruce ponders death, but comes out very much in favour of life and playing music. The songs celebrate the band's friendship over nearly half a century and remembers the ones they lost along the way. There is no such thing as an entirely new Springsteen song. These songs are old friends I only met last week. I know where they came from. I recognise their features, but they've been on diets, done some exercise, given up the fags and the booze and the one-night stands and dressed themselves up for a big night out dancing a Lindy Hop in shiny lamé and expensive lace. In the film they made that documents the making of the album, you can see how the band works and how the parts all fit together. How the two other guitarists, stars in their own right, Nils and Steve, are happy to just be boys in the band. Steve Van Zandt is also known for acting the part of the consigliere to Tony Soprano in the TV series, a role he compares to being Bruce's right-hand man. Anyone who has been part of a band of brothers will understand what this album is about. Anyone who has gathered in the control room to listen to a playback, and anyone who has been in a dressing room with a bunch of people with whom they have shared a stage will understand. Anyone that has strummed some chords and added some words and given life to a small parcel of magic that may one day ease someone through a tough time will understand. Give me Roy Britton's artfully arpeggiated and slightly operatic piano playing, Max Weinberg's drums thundering, Gary Tallant's bass and a swoop on the organ, some chiming rhythm and twangling lead guitar, some growling sax from Clemens Jr. and the fairy on the Christmas tree that is the Glockenspiel. Give me that and I hear rock and roll perfection. I hear the distillation of the history of rock and roll. I hear the past calling with Little Richard's a wop bop a loo bop, starting an echo that meets the memory of the last young band I saw taking the tentative first steps at a Bellevue or Art Centre jam. The standout song is Ghosts, which is the new anthem for the old people who were young when he sang about being young. In 45 years he has never written another Born to Run, but then who has? But Ghosts might be its sequel, or even the final act for the Broken Heroes on the Last Chance Power Drive. The old boss sang My Way, but this is the new boss singing about the rock and roll way of death. For all those that will never get the old band back together because the brightest star went out. The song builds to a chorus where he triumphantly sings, I'm alive. But when you think it has ended, it reappears as a simple repeating riff that builds into a crescendo of drums through which the band gallop to the finish, all singing a la-la-la refrain. So perfect that I am pleased that Depression and Mediocrity by The Ilk came out 9 months before this, so I can prove I didn't copy it.
That was Twanglin Jack Ford with this week's album review. For this week's book, I'm going to go ahead and recommend some non-fiction. I'm going to go with Lives of the Stoics by Ryan Holiday and Stephen Hanselman. And basically, the Stoics were kind of a branch of philosophers where, well, they advocated Stoicism. I mean, it's kind of hard to explain exactly what they were talking about, but they talked about virtue and the idea of trying to live a virtuous life. One of the big ideas is, you know, understanding what you have control over. So there are certain things in life that we have no control over. You know, for example, what the government decides to do in response to the coronavirus pandemic. And there's no point in stressing over that when it's not something you can control. What you can control is the way you respond to it. So, you know, to a certain extent, we have, you know, control over our own actions and our own emotions, but also just the way that we kind of have our outlooks on life, you know, we choose that. And so this book, anyway, it goes into the history of Stoic thinkers and philosophers from like Zeno to Marcus Aurelius. I can't remember who else is in it, to be honest. There's a lot of them. Cicero was in it. And yeah, it talks about their lives, and that's kind of what's the interesting thing, because the idea, I guess, is that if their philosophy was any good, they lived their lives by it. And so you can learn quite a lot about the philosophy by the people who taught and championed it. So yeah, very good book, would recommend if that sounds like your sort of thing. And then this week's TV show is The Queen's Gambit, which is on Netflix at the moment. It's pretty popular. I actually saw it's the second most read Wikipedia article after the one about Sean Connery at the moment. And yeah, it's basically about a young girl who's orphaned and she goes to live in an orphanage. And while she's there, she kind of develops a passion for chess and she goes on to become, you know, a really very skilled chess player, competing internationally and all that sort of stuff. It's set in the 50s and mostly in the 60s. And so because of that, it covers a lot of like the, you know, the prejudice against her, basically people assuming she can't play because she's a woman and all of this stuff. But it also covers just a lot of like social issues as well. I mean, there are themes of like drug addiction in there. And yeah, like just it's a very good show. I thought it was really well acted and really well put together as well. So The Queen's Gambit on Netflix, go and watch it. And with that, we have reached the end of this week's episode. So as always, thanks a lot for listening. My name is Dane Cobain. You've been listening to The Art Show on 106.6 FM at Wickham Sound. We're on Facebook. If you search for The Art Show Wickham Sound, you should be able to find us. You can also listen again on Spotify and iTunes and things like that. So just just give it a Google. Hopefully you'll be able to find us. You can also email me here on the studio at dane.cobain@wickhamsound.org.uk. I'm going to leave you with one last track. And so until next week, this is Confined by Without My Addiction.
twisted and confined years ago.